This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
All right. Let's bust this out.
Bust what out?
This episode, because I was late night with Jack and Martin doing ACP.
Oh.
And my internet was not liking it at all with all the storms and stuff.
Oh, no.
So, the hamster's on the wheel.
Is it still raining by you?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Well,
today the sun was out and it was still raining.
Oof. I'm guessing that's the storm that's coming this way for this weekend.
I'm assuming it's not supposed to stop till Wednesday night here, so...
Yeah, they're saying from, like, Friday to Tuesday, we should just expect rain.
Yeah. Well, I have almost 11 inches in my gauge.
Good Lord.
Since Friday night? Saturday early morning, I guess.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
So, we got a lot of comics to talk about.
We do.
I think I counted, and it was like 47 comic books.
Oh, Lord. We'll be here for 4 hours.
Yeah, it actually wasn't that many. It was only like, I don't know, 43.
Well, that's because the weekend before last I was at C2E2, so we couldn't record.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
Well, I mean, I guess we could have, but it might not have been coherent.
Yeah, from what I gather.
Yeah. And apparently there's evidence now with the Open Bar podcast on the Nerdy Legion, so...
Yeah, that's why you never podcast when you don't know what's going on, because you can never prevent yourself from saying ridiculous things.
Oh, I said some ridiculous things because I was listening to it today and I was like, oh my God, I remember saying half of it, but I don't remember saying all of this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, if that's what you want, the word you want to use.
Well, speaking of awesome, I want to jump in with probably my favorite book from last week, which was the awesome Deathstroke 17.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew it was only a matter of time before he sort of went evil-ish again.
Yeah.
And the way that they did it when, you know, Beast Boy shows up to say, hey, see what's going on. And he kind of looks into the other room and sees him sitting there and freaks out. He's like, what exactly is going on? You know, of course, he's going to turn evil and try and kill everybody.
Yeah. But even though he did, though, it was still an engaging story, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean.
Because, I mean, that's what we signed up for, right? We didn't want a goody two-shoes Slade.
Yeah, and I mean, he does go kind of full-on evil when he kills her dog.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I didn't actually think he was going to kill the dog. I thought, you know, he was just going to kind of choke it a little and prove a point. But,
right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's Slade, so...
Yeah.
Of course.
Agreed.
But, yeah, I mean, it's setting... The whole thing is setting up for the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm very excited about. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's still consistently awesome. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and also, I mean, like, everything that's going on with his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how Rose finds out that it's not actually her actual parents. Or whatever.
Right.
So she goes outside and just kisses the guy. Then you have Jericho with his fiance. And, you know, she gets the picture of him with the guy. And she's like, oh my God, is this true? I'm so glad I've been sleeping with your father. Like, everything else is just, you know, basically their lives are just always kind of chaos around each other.
Yeah.
You know, none of the family can ever just have a normal relationship with anyone.
Well, I mean, why would they? Because yeah. That would make for a boring comic, right?
Right. Right, but it's just funny that it's like, oh man, her situation's totally messed up, and then you get, you know, somewhere out, and you're like, wow, this is even worse than the other.
Yeah. It's like the whole family's a train wreck.
Oh yeah. But like you said, it's what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's a good possible train wreck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I mean, it leads up to the new Judas contract. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. I just hope that the other writers of the other books keep it the same level as what's been going on with Deathstroke.
Well, so, that's a big pressure cooker right there.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I kind of started to really enjoy Teen Titans, I think. The last issue I liked a lot with... I don't even remember what they're calling them now. The Aqualad. Is that... I don't even remember. You know, he shows up. He wants to hang out. But I... You know, with King Shark. You there?
I was on mute.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think they called him Aqualad.
Yeah, I forget... You know, because, I mean, he's still... It seems like in this universe, he's new to his powers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I enjoyed the issue. I think that the team dynamic is coming together nicely. You know? I like how Goliath was the one that let him in. and Rob and Damien's just like, oh, come on, stupid bat.
Yeah. And you knew that... he was going to end up saving somebody to prove his worth.
How could you tell that they were going to be in water?
Do you think that it's been organic growth, or we need a new player, so here's this one, and here we go?
To put him in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean... I don't know. I think it's been pretty good that since, you know, like the first, I'm trying to think, did they have a Rebirth special or was it just a number one? I think they had
a number one.
They didn't have a one shot, which was him putting the team together, or that was the first issue?
I think that was the first issue, if I remember right.
Oh, okay. I thought I enjoyed
wrong.
I enjoyed that one a lot. I thought it was kind of fun. And then the next couple issues were kind of eh. But I think, what is it, 7, 8? I think, mm-hmm. you know, at least the last 2 or 3, I've been enjoying how they're all interacting with each other a lot more. That I don't think, you know, necessarily they need to throw another character in, but I like the fact that they are adding, you know, someone I like.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I mean, organically, this Aqualad from Young Justice, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I like him as a character, and I think that at first it kind of seemed forced, but then by the end of the issue, it was organic, and I didn't care that it was tropey.
Right.
That, you know, ironically, they're fighting in the water, and ironically, he's there to save them, you know?
And he doesn't quite understand his powers, but all of a sudden, he understands his powers enough to save the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens sometimes.
No, that's what I'm saying is that I enjoyed it enough that I can get past that stuff.
Right.
It was just... one of those fun read type things. right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And again, you know, at the end, setting up, you know, Black Manta showing up is definitely... It'll be interesting, because I... You know, the way that he was kind of left off with Aquaman, I wasn't expecting to see him anytime soon, I guess.
Right.
But it's nice.
Well, at least it kept the continuity where he's head of Nemo, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't really think this book is so in context with, you know, in continuity with everything else, because it just seems more lighthearted, but they do bring up a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in what was the other one? In Super Sons.
Right.
Where Damian keeps making fun of Jonathan, how he's not going to be in the Teen Titans. You know, he picked people with specific skill sets, and he doesn't need him. You know, but...
Now...
Now,
did they allude to him, to Aqualad, being gay? Or did I misread that?
That was the last issue, right?
I don't know. One? It's all ran together.
Yeah, I thought that it was, because he was sitting with who I thought was his boyfriend on, like, the beach or the cliff or something, and he kind of told him that he had the powers, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And then the kid kind of freaked out and left.
Not that it matters much. I guess I forgot that part from the last issue, and then when I was reading this one, then he was like, I already told my mom that, and then now to tell her that, or she wants me to hide from my powers too, or whatever.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, I guess I missed that somehow. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, they it was kind of there, but they didn't really play it up. You know,
right,
crazy.
Right. Oh, well, it wasn't like in your face type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much just made him like a person.
Right.
But, yeah, Super Sons is pretty great too.
Yeah, that's a really fun book also.
Yeah, and the first one I wasn't so into.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it the first one? No, maybe. What issue is this? This issue 3?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I might have been the first issue I really liked, and then last issue I didn't like as much. Or it might have been the other way around. I don't remember. But this one I really enjoyed. I think their interaction, you know, the way the two of them are with each other, it really is like a child version of Batman and Superman.
Yep.
Which is great.
And that's the way it should be, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely... It makes it interesting. And, I mean, you have this arrogant, smug, I know everything kid. And then you have, you know, this, I just want to, you know, the I want to be good and helpful kid. And, you know, the one's always getting the other into trouble, and he's getting upset about it, and, you know, especially, like, the part where they're running off, you know, getting chased by the robot guys, and they're like, we just gotta get out of here, and Damian swings back and, you know, cuts the head off the Superboy one.
Yeah.
And then keeps going. It's just, you know, it's typical of their fathers.
Yep. Yeah, it's very childlike banter of the adult versions.
Yeah.
It catches that tone greatly.
Yeah. And the
art's good on it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I enjoy it. It's very cartoony, but it seems to fit the book. So.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Totally agree. Totally agree, sir.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm curious to see where they're gonna go with this whole storyline. I mean, they didn't really you see Damien doing something to Tinker, but you don't see exactly what, you know, exactly what it was, because, you know, as the book ends, they're kind of overrun by the robots, and you know, they, as he's like, oh, just give me a minute, just give me a minute, you know, just hold on for a minute longer.
Yeah. Like, I know you can, so just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I wasn't really expecting much from it, but I'm, I think that everything so far has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Yeah.
Because I thought it could do great things, but, you know, there was that one issue. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one there, that it seemed like it went off-road for a minute.
Yeah.
But then it came back, and, you know I'm cool with it.
I think it might have been the first issue, because they kind of, they had the, it was sort of like a first issue in, I guess it was Superman.
Yeah.
When Batman and Damian showed up and we're like, man, this is going to be so great. And then the first issue of Super Sons was not like that at all.
Yeah. It was the annual, right? Like the Christmas one.
I think so.
Like the backdoor pilot type thing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I agree. Cause it's like, I think we overhyped it or expected more than what I guess.
It's probably a bit of what happened.
Yeah.
So what book from the past couple weeks do you want to talk about?
Detective?
Sure.
I really, really enjoyed this whole arc and the orphan-centric stuff. Have you? Or have you fallen off of it a little bit?
I liked this issue better than the last one.
Okay.
But I'm not loving this book like I was when it first started.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think the art in this one was kind of a mess. But, yeah, I mean, I like Orphan. So yeah. Giving her a little bit of the forefront, you know, and I mean, this issue is basically her story being superimposed over her literally fighting through the entire League of Assassins.
Yeah. Right. And I like how the lady or girl, woman, whatever, is reading in that story, and it's kind of like parallel to her world.
Yep.
And so then you know that she comes in and is a badass and saves the day type thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like where she, it's the big F you to her mom. Hmm. You know what I mean? Because her mom wanted her to be this trained assassin type thing with no feelings or whatever. And she has feelings, but she doesn't know how to handle them.
Right.
Basically. And so, like, her mom just expected her to walk into the trap and be taken down easily, but she pretty much saved everybody or broke everybody free for the final showdown.
Yep. Yeah, and I like, you know, even though there are some pretty powerful people with her, I like that at that last page that she's right at the forefront.
Yeah, she's probably, I know I'll probably get hate tweets on it, but it's not a Rebirth Weekly episode if I don't say something outlandish, right? I would say that she's probably my favorite Batman family member right now, including Batman.
Because
I mean, I kind of like, well, we'll go into Nightwing here in a minute, but like Tim's off the table, obviously.
Right.
And then Batwing, I'm not emotionally attached to.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never really cared for Batwing. I don't know what it is.
And like Batwoman, to me, she just feels like a carbon copy woman version of Batman. So it's kind of like one of those type things. And then, you know, you got Damian, which is Damian. He's fine. And other books, I just don't want him, like, in this issue, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he would work in here, but, like, on Super Sons, it's fine.
Right.
So, like, and I guess I like Clayface, too, but he was obviously in different vials in this issue, but I think as the actual whole, she's probably one of my favorites, because, to me, she's the most intriguing.
Well, you're forgetting.
Or damaged, I guess.
We'll get to the book later, but you're forgetting the best Bat family member, Thomas Wayne.
Bat. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
No, I agree. I think Cassandra's been pretty awesome, that she's always one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the way that Detective has been written, even though it's a Batman book, it's not really a Batman book.
Mm-hmm.
That he hasn't been, I mean, in, I guess in the story, The Monster Men, right after Tim died, he was kind of the focal point, because it was mm-hmm. how he wasn't going to let, you know, anybody else get hurt, kind right. of. But mm-hmm. besides that, I mean, this book, it's really bounced around who it's focused on, mm-hmm. that it focused on Batwoman for a while. It focused now on Cassandra for a bit, but yeah, like she, Batwoman, I'm sort of losing interest in, but you know, Cassandra's been pretty awesome and she gets better every issue, you know, especially now that she's sort of not coming into her own, but she's realizing her personality, I guess, a mm-hmm. little more.
I can see that, yeah.
You know, cause she's opening up to the woman in the, you know, that was kind of taking care of her. That instead of, you know, oh, you know, I'm orphan. Oh, no, call me Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yep.
However that went. But, yeah. I dig her. And,
yeah, I do.
You know, her taking out her mother is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it can only get ramped up from here, I think.
Yeah. Which is crazy, considering that she just took out, like, 1,000 people.
Right.
I guess the other big book from this past week, I guess, was Action Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta tell you, I'm totally losing interest in Action Comics.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't care. You know, I mean, this issue was, hey, let's catch you up on everything that's happened on Superman. And it's like, all right. You know, I mean, I sort of understand where they're coming from the storyline, that he's trying to figure out if there's anything different, you know, if he, you know, because he feels that he's not remembering something.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my goodness. Like for a book that I haven't been as interested in, putting this issue here when, you know, my attention is wavering, mm-hmm. it was not, I mean, I know that they're not writing this book for me, but it's, you know, this, for me, this was the wrong decision to make with this issue.
Hmm. See, I'm going to have to differ, because I liked it. I'm not saying it was the best action book that we've had.
Right.
But, yeah, I liked it. The only thing that I had a question about is at the end of Tank Henshaw, right? And everybody together.
Yeah.
Didn't we see Hank Henshaw in Supergirl already?
I'm not reading Supergirl, so I couldn't tell you.
You were at the time.
Was I?
Yeah, I was it that?
No, I read like half an issue of Supergirl and I stopped.
Okay. Well, I think that he's already been there. So, crazy theory time.
Okay.
I think this is the new 52 Superman being Hank Henshaw. Because in Supergirl, I know you've read Supergirl because we talked about it. Like where they go in space and the city is in, he takes her to outer space because he saved everybody and they're just robots or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I did read that.
Yeah, and he revealed that he's her real dad or whatever.
Right.
So either A, he wasn't the real Hank Henshaw, and that was just like his alias for being on Earth.
Right.
Or this is New 52 Superman, because he looks like New Super 52 Superman to me with a different suit on.
Well, it looks like terrible JRJR Superman.
Okay. I mean, I'll give that to you, but I just think that's how they're going to link him back in. Because, I mean, New 52 Superman, which I know with Superman, they've kind of blended the best of both worlds together, right?
Right.
So, New 52 Superman can't be Superboy Prime, or because that's like too obvious, I would think.
Right.
So, and that's what I thought of when I saw that last page. It wasn't Hank Henshaw is what I thought of. I thought of the New 52 Superman. So.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. That's a new little kicker to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the part that I'm the most interested in is seeing what happens with the Eradicator. And even that I'm not, like, overly excited for, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was cool when he first showed up, right?
Yeah.
And now it's just, like, a rehash, and we're reusing him again.
Yeah, but I don't know. What do they call it at the end? The Revenge Squad or whatever?
Yeah, Superman Revenge Squad.
Right. I think, you know, I mean, that'll be interesting to see. If anything, well, it would be nice if something interesting happened from that, but I'm not holding my breath.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for, like, considering that Superman itself has been so great, mm-hmm. and, I mean, action started off really good, it just kind of died for me.
It died when Clark Kent was revealed.
I was losing interest before that. There was, I forget what the arc was, but I mean, I liked the stuff with, the God Slayer guy, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting with Clark and Lex,
mm-hmm.
but you know, looking back on it though, now that you know who Clark was,
mm-hmm.
why he didn't just magic their way out of all of that stuff, I have no idea.
Because he couldn't remember.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it might be, but I'm just telling you.
It's ridiculous. I'm telling you.
It's funny books, so there's ridiculousness every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know. Another book that I was not so into, and I've been getting back into, and now I don't think I'm that into it anymore, is Green Arrow.
Yeah.
This issue killed me, man. I still don't understand why, like, every three or four pages, you have that one, it looks like a painted panel or like a chalk panel or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the book just looks like garbage. You know? I mean, like, the art was not good at all. and I just did not care about the story. That, I mean, everything that they had done with, you know, with Red Arrow in the last arc, again, it's just like, wow, this is completely not anything I'm interested in anymore.
Right. I could do that. It's been subpar, I guess, kind of for me, but not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like they're trying to bring in, you know, make it Star City.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. I mean, it's nice to see, I guess, but at the same time, I just, there's like nothing in this arc that I care about.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, and I mean, Green Arrow was barely even in this issue, and it wasn't even, you know, it's not like with Green Lanterns, where they're not in the issue, and you're like, wow, this is such a great comic.
Right.
This just, yeah, nothing. And I mean, it could be, it could just be the art style itself. I, you know, like, I could not get into it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just been mediocre, middle of the road for me, so I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I really want to like the book.
Yeah, it's not like I've been overjoyed with it or super down on it. It's just been middle of the road for me.
Right. Did you read Green Lanterns?
I did.
Was any good? I'm still not reading it. I'm boycotting.
You're boycotting?
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. I mean, it's gotten better, but I guess for me, like, since that Jessica breakdown issue, the nervous breakdown issue, it seems to have, gotten more tolerable for me, I guess. They're still the same tropes that you don't like, so.
Yeah. Like, you know, garbage writing. So
yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one. I want to like that book, but it's just not a good Green Lantern book. Hal Jordan is like kicking ass, and this book is just boring as hell.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. I agree.
I guess we may as well jump over to Hal Jordan. I gotta say, for me, the art in this issue took a hit, but man, Vendetti is still, that guy tells a story.
Yep. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I like Rip Hunter with the Green Lantern ring, but you know, it's set as just like a data ring that he can't do anything with it.
Yep.
Because it, you know, if you think about it, that seems like something John Stewart would do. Hey, when you meet me, this is what you need to tell me to get you to, you know, to get me to believe you. And, you know, I thought it was done really well. The story of how everything kind of falls apart, I like that it's, you know, because Guy and Arkillo become such good friends,
right.
Everything just sort of falls, you know, everyone falls into line. But because of that, everything goes to crap. Because, you know, it just, I still think the two of them as buddies, they seriously need to make a miniseries. Like a buddy cop miniseries of Guy Gardner and Arkillo just flying around doing crazy things.
Yeah, see, like, that's the stuff that they could do instead of Jessica and Simon type thing, you know?
Yep.
That seems more interesting than the buddy kind of cop stuff that we're getting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they decide to, I mean, hopefully they don't go back to having, like, 45 Green Lantern books, because they all started, they all were kind of all over the place. But I would really like to see, like, a, you know, let this book kind of go more Hal Jordan-ish, once he gets some direction to go in. And right. I'd love to see just like an actual Green Lanterns book be, you know, what's going on with, you know, have it kind of John centric because he is kind of the core leader, but you're able to, oh, you know, here's a story arc, St. Walker's on a mission doing something. And here's a story arc right. where, you know, you have Guy and Arkillo, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't have to be John needs a book, Hal needs a book, Kyle needs a book, and Guy needs a book. But I think right. having a title that, you know, that lets you do a couple arcs here or there with just like mm-hmm. random, I mean, heck, just make random Lanterns have a story.
Right.
You know, I don't like even care if I've never even heard of them
type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, oh, there's a disturbance in space sector, blah, blah, blah. We need to send, you know, Tomar 2 and someone else, some random person over there and to do something, you know, because it gives mm-hmm. you a chance to kind of explore those characters. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think Venditti's been doing a great job. You know, I mean, he's really, it seems like he's writing about 40 different characters in this series so far.
Yep.
You know, and he's doing a great job making you care about each of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Space Ape. You yeah. have, you know, like, whoever put Space Ape in a story.
Right.
You know? And who's he with? Gorn's son, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think you know? You're right.
Then, yeah, you have the whole thing with Kyle and Sorenik. And now, you know, I mean, just like every character feels like a different person, which is great. And it feels like they actually have a purpose. Whereas, you know, you have some other, you know, books with giant casts like this. And, you know, some of the people, their only purpose, it seems like, is, you know, they'll randomly show up just to give one pertinent piece of information or to do something, you know, to do something that saves everybody, but there's yep. like no rhyme or reason.
Right.
This, it feels like, you know, a planet full of green and yellow lanterns interacting with each other.
Yeah, I totally agree. You're not going to hear any argument out of me on that one.
Damn it, you're supposed to argue with me.
Well, I will, but...
Man, these characters feel stiff, and they're terribly written.
Oh, you must be talking about a different book.
Yeah. I do like, at the end, with Hal and John, when Hal basically is like, you figure this out, you know, you think about whatever whatever you want to do, I'm just going to go do something, because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out to fight whatever, I don't remember what they call them, those, like, the emerald whatever, they look, you know, like insects.
And, yeah.
And, like, whatever he does absolutely nothing, and he's like, oh, we may have a slight problem here.
Right, yeah.
You know, which is pretty much how it always goes with him, where he goes all guns blazing,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, oh no, what are we gonna do? Nothing I did worked, and then, you know, an issue later, he's just like, Hal smash, and he kills everything.
Let's see, I know what I was gonna talk about. I wanted to talk about Suicide Squad since you're not. Reading it.
Yeah.
This past issue I thought was great.
Okay.
Because Amanda's basically sent them into LexCorp okay. to steal something. And then obviously Amanda goes in to talk to Lex as distraction. And essentially, it's basically the he hands her a box, or Lex hands her a box, and it's like the size of a bracelet box or a necklace box.
Mm-hmm.
and she doesn't take it because she said that, you know, she's not into those gimmick things and they're two totally different people.
Okay.
And then during the whole book, you find out that they're basically similarly, blah, 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 easy for me to say. They're very similar.
Okay.
As a person. And so then the guards and everybody get them, and basically like 10 to 12 Bizarros break out, and so they got to fight them. The squad does in the basement, and so that sets off the alarms, and so then everybody's there, and then they come basically to terms that they're there to steal kryptonite. And come to find out that's what Lex had in the box for her, because he already knew like all of her secrets, like why they were there. And she wanted kryptonite so she could make a kryptonite bomb to put in Zod's head to force him to work as part of the Suicide Squad.
Huh.
So the last page was him on the operation table and the scientists like freaking out, like either this is going to be the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever.
Right, and that's Zod on the table.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming that... Are they using, like, a kryptonite scalpel or something?
Huh. Well, they were going to use a drill, but I don't know if it was kryptonite-tipped or not, but that's what I thought when I was reading it. I was like, okay, I understand that you're going to use kryptonite for the bomb, but how are you going to penetrate the skin?
Right.
But... But yeah, I thought this issue was pretty good.
Who's on the art on that?
JRJR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame because it sounds interesting, but I'm not going to read it.
Well, you're missing out.
Could you do me a favor, and could you go through panel by panel and redraw the comic for me?
Yeah, sure. I'm telling you right now. It probably won't look any better than his. But.
You know what, though? At least I could expect a garbage-drawn comic from... How funny would that be if, like, my next convention sketches is just like, hey, I would like you to recreate this page of Suicide Squad for me. Just have a bunch of people draw it so I can read the issue.
Mm-hmm. That'd be hilarious.
It costs
and then have him sign it. Money.
Yeah, they have John Romita sign it.
Yeah.
Hey, your art sucks. So I had Riley Rossmo redo this issue for me. And,
and Joe Eisma.
Yeah. Maybe I can get Dexter Soy to draw it. I'm going to tweet him later. Yeah, I mean, the writing on the book, I enjoy. And it's a shame. I just can't look at it.
Right.
You know, it hurts. Physically pains me.
Well,
yeah, another book that physically pained me was Batwoman.
Yep.
I think I might be done.
Like, 2 issues in?
Yeah, because I read the entire issue. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna at least give it that. But the entire time I was just like totally distracted. You know, I couldn't focus on the book. I just did not care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also part of, you know, why Detective isn't, you know, I'm not as into Detective as I was. I think it's because I just don't like Batwoman.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I liked her at the beginning of Detective. But now that she's like front and center and focal point, and like I said, it's just like she's too. Maybe I'm not getting it. I don't know, but it's like she's too carbon copy of Batman,
right?
The female version.
Yeah, but maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like I wanted to like it.
Yeah, I want to like it really a lot, but
yeah, it just doesn't. It doesn't do anything for me.
Mm-mm.
I don't
totally
know.
Agree.
And it's a shame. trying to think. Man, there's so many books. Another one. I don't remember.
Well, obviously, we're not going to get through all of them, but
yeah. What do you think of Batman Beyond?
I didn't really have high expectations for it, but I'm liking it as like that fun book, you know?
Okay.
I really like the cartoon.
Yeah.
And then like some of the past pre-Rebirth Batman Beyond stuff I liked. And it was okay, I guess. But this one, I think I've taken like a more broader open mind for it. So it feels like the cartoon to me.
Right.
So it's like one of those fun reads. Like there isn't a complex story, you know, it's point A to point B. The art's okay in it. And for the most part, it's enjoyable all over.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel the same way that you do, that it, you know, for me, it was just like a fun, you know, like you, I enjoyed the cartoon a lot, and I like that it's that style. But man, like this issue, I think it was the last couple, really, that even though I try and just go into it with an open mind, like I'm really just like sludging through.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like parts of it I really enjoyed, but other parts are just like, man, like Terry's just getting on my nerves. That, you know, like the whole, you know, oh, it's not that important. I'm going to sit here and talk to you. No, maybe you should look because the bat signal's up and they don't really throw that up that much. And he's like, nope, it's not that important. It's nothing too severe. And then finally they're like, hey, where have you been? Everybody's dead. And he's like, oh, I should have listened. And that just bugged me.
I don't know. I guess it's because I'm not reading it, like seriously reading it, I guess. Like, I'm just enjoying it for what it is, I guess.
Right.
And I'm not like taking it or trying to take it too serious. But
yeah. I am very interested in seeing exactly what the deal with that bat suit is. Because it sort of looks like it's kind of, I don't want to say possessing him, but it's given him at least a bit of bloodlust. Because,
yeah,
you know, Bruce is like, no, nobody, no one should ever wear that costume. And he's like, no, it's too late. And he's ripping people up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a focal point that, or a peak of interest, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And, how did this one end? Oh, with, Ra's al Ghul being alive?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess it sort of had to figure he was going to be alive, assuming that he's always alive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, even though it's not as fun a read, I guess, for me anymore, I'm still, I still like enough of it that I'm definitely going to keep going.
Yeah. Let's see. JLA was still garbage.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
Aquaman.
I liked Aquaman.
Yeah.
I think the art has been not good lately. I think that was my
here the last couple of issues, I think, for me has been subpar.
Yeah, like it's some of it's really good, but occasionally like a couple pages like really sloppy.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, what was it? Aquaman and Mira end up, you know, sort of through the looking glass into some other dimension. And
yeah.
Then while they're there, Deepwater gets into whoever it is, that girl. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked
it. See, And I like how now Brown Cow. No, I like now how it's going from the political book to like an action adventure style book.
Yeah.
Because I think like at the very beginning it was a very much political book.
Right.
And now it's kind of veered away from that.
Yeah, I think in a weird way it seems like this is I mean, it's not really, but it sort of seems like this book is Star Trek to me. Where
really
you can have your political episodes, you know, where they get to some planet and they have to fix something. And then you have your, you know, your crazy action stuff where, you know, like the Romulans are destroying everything. And then you also have, you know, now with them through like into that other place, they have, you know, like the exploratory, you know, hey, let's go check out this brand new place that we've never seen before, you know, because Q just threw us 4 billion light years away from anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's a good analogy, because I can definitely see that going that way. Because like I said, the front part of it was pretty much diplomatic, politic type-ish.
Right, arc. Star Trek VI.
Yeah. All right. I could see that.
You know, and since the start, I mean, it got a little rocky at the beginning, but I mean, once it got going, this book has been consistently pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's been going good from the beginning, so.
Right.
Your opinion doesn't matter on that.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. But, yeah, I mean, with, what was it, not Deepwater, Deadwater, right?
Deadwater, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, now that it's infecting the girl on the ship, I mean, obviously, things are going to go haywire there. You got the guy like, we have a nuke, we're going to blow up this thing. And everybody's like, no, we can't blow up the thing with a nuke because that's crazy, Doc. And he's right. Like, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm crazy. And then he disappears. And it's like, you know, there are a lot of moving parts that are making it interesting because you don't...
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't know exactly if any of them do anything slightly off, everything goes right to shit.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like, you know, there are a couple people that realize that, and then there's a few more that don't so much.
Yeah, and then of course you have a few people that don't care.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Let it go to shit. We'll be there to pick up the pieces or to triumph, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like with what was the book? Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
Yeah. I just forgot the person's name, the one that was shooting her.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I like how, you know, basically Wonder Woman just dodges stuff and she's like, yeah, I don't really like when people shoot me multiple times.
Yeah.
But I think this book has really been hit or miss with me. That in the last couple issues I haven't liked as much as the earlier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what really hooked me, I guess, at the end is, I mean, they're not in Themyscira, but, you know, they sort of get zapped away and they're like, oh, you know, who is it? It's Wonder Woman and whatever that woman, I forget her name.
Right.
The one with the faceless daughter. And she's like, oh, hey mom, what's up? And her, you know, she's back, the daughter's back to normal. And there's just this dude hanging out and, you know, it's basically Ares in prison.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, it definitely... It has re-piqued my interest to see where they're going to go from here. And, I mean, they only have... what, three more issues, I guess, before Rucka leaves.
Yeah. And a new writer comes on.
Yeah, and totally changes everything.
Yeah, which, honestly, I don't see that it's going to be a bad thing, because she's been doing great in the Wonder Woman, or Wonder Girl, Supergirl, Supergirl limited series.
Oh, yeah, it's the Supergirl being super person?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I can't remember her name, but yeah, she's going to do that.
That'll be interesting.
She's also doing Hulk, which is the Jennifer Walters She-Hulk story in Marvel 2.
Huh.
Which I don't see that happening very much. It's, you know, but it could.
Yeah.
I don't think she can write for both companies. You know what I mean?
You never know. I mean, probably not, but
yeah,
that my guess is there's probably something that she can't, but I guess she's wrapping that one up.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, it just started. I mean, it's only issue 5 of that series. Yeah. So.
Oh, I had no idea.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that universe is getting ready to get shooken up anyway. So.
No. Yeah. So there you go. That's how that's how they fix everything at Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else is left. You know what? Just quick. Batgirl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly think Batgirl is one of my favorite comics right now.
Batgirl or Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, or just
I enjoy them both, but
okay.
Batgirl was this week, last week? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
In the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just find myself, like you said, with Batman Beyond.
Uh-huh.
This, I don't know what it is about this book, but I'm just able to shut my brain off and not like nitpick it too much.
Yep.
And I think the art is, I mean, it fits the story perfectly. And, you know, just the way the characters feel like people, that it's not, you know, like stiff superhero talk. That some other books get, and the storyline itself, I find myself really enjoying this book. And again, that's like some of my favorite books in Rebirth. I never going into Rebirth, like if you Deathstroke, Red Hood and the Outlaws and Batgirl were three of my, like, probably my top five books.
Yeah.
I would have been like, nah, you people are crazy. There's no way. And Superman, those four, right. Like, I don't like those books. But yep. I'm enjoying them a lot.
Yep. Agreed.
Speaking of Superman.
Yeah.
This book was so good. You know, I like how it seems like in the last issue, they were kind of pointing towards the neighbor, you know, like the grandfather. Uh-huh. But now it seems like it's the girl.
Yep.
Who's either possessed or just evil.
Yep. The old switcheroo, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool that it's been out in front, like, the whole time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That it's, you know, she trusts, you know, he trusts her.
Uh-huh.
Because of everything, you know, that they've mm-hmm. been doing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, it's essentially his first childhood friend, right? I mean, with the exception of Crypto.
Yeah, it's really kind of his only friend.
Yeah, well, now we have Damian, but...
Right, but are they really friends? I mean, the way the two of them interact with each other.
Well, I would say that Jonathan looks at him as a friend. But Damian doesn't. He just looks at them as a chess piece type thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. This one keeps hitting on all cylinders for me.
Yeah.
I like the curveballs that they throw us every once in a while.
Yep.
what hasn't been hitting on all cylinders. And we'll probably wrap it up with this one.
Okay.
How about the button two-part story?
I'm unfamiliar with what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, let me give you a little nutshell review. There once was this button. Out of the two, out of Batman 21 and Flash 21, which one did you enjoy the most?
I liked Batman, but I think I enjoyed Flash more.
Fair enough.
I think the reason why is because Flash was, for the most part, like a forensic analysis.
Right.
You know, I thought that the conversation with Bruce and Barry, you know, where they're recounting what was going on, you know, and also the whole part at the beginning where Barry is, you know, he set up the Batcave as a crime scene. He's got all the little markers and everything else out there. I thought it was pretty fantastic. When they brought out the treadmill, I sort of
wasn't lost your into shit. Oh.
No. No, I mean, like, I get it, but, you know, like, how, I don't know, I mean, I guess they needed a way to get them somewhere else, but, like, a dying Batman, or a badly broken Batman, being able
broken.
To hang on to the Flash.
As their... Well, here's my thing, it's a two-part series. Until, like, the end of this year, right? Or next year, whatever. Is when we're going to get picked back up on it, right?
Is it? I'm not sure.
Well, I know the button's just a two-part story.
No, it's these two, and then it's the next two. It's issue, right? This is 21. I think it goes 22 also.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. But still, you have a month. So four stories, and then whatever decides at the end of these four issues gets put on the shelf again until we have our huge Who Watches the Watchmen, Who Creates the New Rebirth Universe arc event thingy.
Right.
So I don't, all I'm saying is quit teasing me with it, and let's, well, you know what I'm, does that make sense? 'Cause
it makes sense. I think though, I think that they're going to, I mean, there has to be some kind of, even if it's just a minor payoff, there's gotta be some kind of a payoff after this arc. You know, they can't tease that there's the button, you know, oh, we're going to do the button, and they really haven't done much with it.
I know. That's what I'm saying is you can't, whatever the payoff's going to be, can't be that big for Flash or Batman to put it back on the shelf for another 6 months or whatever. That's right. What I'm saying.
Yeah,
is, I mean, yeah, we might get a payoff, but I don't know.
No, that makes sense. And I think, you know, same thing. I have questions as to why they're doing it the way they're doing it. You know, because like the last time, at the start of Rebirth, I guess, when it was like Batman and Flash were like, oh, we have to figure this out. Right. Okay. And then now it's been, you know, almost 20 issues later before they actually do anything again. So I guess we're going to wait another 20 issues.
Yeah.
But the one thing I do like, you know, is how Batman... The guy, I guess in the Batman issue, Reverse Flash, like, destroyed the letter that his father wrote, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was all angry because he's like, how am I ever going to know whatever? But now, at the end of Flash, he's standing face-to-face with his father.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, for him, I think it'll be interesting. to actually not, I mean, I don't want to say closure, but to actually witness whatever, and also for Thomas to see Bruce.
Yeah.
So I'm out of everything in this whole storyline, I think I'm the most interested in that right now.
See, and that opens more questions than answers for me.
Right.
Because obviously that's Earth 2, 3, 6, whatever Earth it's from.
Yeah, Earth 2.
Right. So that's the motive that drives Bruce to be Batman, right?
Yeah.
But now that you know that there's parallel universes out there, or you've always known or whatever.
But he's known.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though, is... And now that you get to talk to your father, whether it's your father or not, right? It's still him. How are you gonna have that much drive anymore?
Because.
Exactly.
Because now, he sees what he could have had with his father, had his father been alive. And it's going to make him even angrier, and he will double down his efforts. So
there. In the words of Martin, we're going to get double emo Batman?
No. Super double emo Batman. No, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like weird emo Batman. I think it's going to be, you know, like angry, you know, I'm going to stop every crime Batman.
So you think it's going to fuel him even more?
I think so.
Then if he never got to have a conversation with Thomas, then.
My feeling is yes.
I mean, because honestly, you can read that back to Thomas too on right. Earth 2.
Well, that's because, the same thing. Like, he could see what would happen if his son wasn't killed.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. That part's just interesting to me. It's like, I know it might be a thread that never gets pulled.
Right.
But I don't know. I would like to see that interaction. One way or another, you know, for the super emo or the super pissed off or the okay, I'm fine with it now. I'm still Batman, but there's alternate ways to do things type.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting to see which way they go with it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think the next issue of Batman, you know, should be pretty good. Mostly because I've always wanted to see what the two of them together would be like.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm down. Even though you're totally wrong.
How am I wrong? I just proposed questions.
What? Your questions are wrong.
Okay.
You're asking the wrong questions.
Yes, there you go. I'm asking the questions you don't have the answers for.
Which is most questions, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Are you ready to wrap this baby up?
I think so. You got anything else?
I do not.
Okay. Well, we steamrolled through 2 weeks of books. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Rebirthically. If you would like to get in touch with either of us, you can tweet me directly at Aaron S. Bell. You could tweet Ronnie directly at Rombar316. You can tweet the show directly at NLRebirthically. You can email the show, rebirthically@gmail.com. And I guess that's some comic talk. Ickley.
Have we ever gotten an email?
No. Not yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we should email us and ask us questions.
I'll do that. I'll make people. No.
And then you could be like, this email comes from a very sophisticated reader who wants to know.
Ronnie, this email agrees with everything that you said last week. Let me read it to you. I believe that Ron fellow is genius. His questions that he proposes about Batman and Thomas Wayne being together are fantastic.